Glory to God. Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again on the subject of what is faith. We're spending a lot of time on the areas of confession. As the Lord Jesus spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin and told him that you're going to have to teach three times more on saying than on believing, because he said that was really the place of failure of Christians. Christians may believe what is the right thing to believe, but that's not what they walk around and say. They talk other stuff. People talk about how good God is and then talk around how bad things are all the time. See, people walk around in their confession. And understand, you know, there's one thing is about confession. Confession sets an atmosphere around you. If you're, you know, going through bad things and all you do is talk about the bad things, you set a bad thing atmosphere around you. You set an atmosphere around you of discouragement. You set it around there. It's like people is talk about people being depressed. It's one thing as I heard, I never ran into a person who has problem with depression whose mouth isn't always talking depressed. They have what they say. They're having what they say. Mike, you know, read from Mark 11:23 this morning. And I just want to read from there, Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And he, in verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Did you notice in 23, Jesus never said you're going to have what you believe. He said you're going to have what you say. So you can believe the right thing. What are you saying? You're not going to have what you believe. This is where a lot of people come along and say, well, I'm believing, I don't understand. Yeah, I understand. Your mouth isn't in order and isn't in right. You're not walking in faith. You're not walking. We have this thing as faith is just believing something. No, it's not. If you ain't saying the right thing, you ain't operating in faith. You're not operating. When we talk about praying, praying is about saying something. You got to say the right things in prayer to bring prayer to pass. You got to say the right stuff. You got to be speaking the right thing. You can believe the right thing and then go to praying and pray the wrong thing. Many people pray their complaints and their problems. That's what they pray. They pray their complaints. The emphasis of their prayer is their problem. Never the answer. They don't talk about the answer. This is the whole thing. To have faith in God, you have to know what God said. When you enter prayer, it should be a place you go with the Word of God. Not a place where you walk in with your ideas and your things. What's God said? See, and this is why, you know, study to show yourself approved unto God. Didn't say you should study so you can look smart in front of people. If you're not smart in front of God, who cares? You want to be smart in front of God. You want to present yourself to God in line with His Word. Why? His desire is to answer your prayer. And the kingdom has ways that it operates, the way that it works. And so you come in line with it, and that's really the important thing. Now this morning we're going to look over, I'm going to read from Romans, the 4th chapter and verse 16. We're going to talk about Abraham today. And the reason we are, I want to show you from Scripture, and this is implied more than one time concerning Abraham. But in Romans, the 4th chapter and verse 16 says this. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the Paul calls him in other places too. He's the father of our faith. He's the father of faith. In other words, he's the guy that God originally looks at to establish, and we're going to find out from teaching this morning, God, he is the symbol of faith to us. The father of faith. He wasn't under the covenant of the law. He was under the covenant of promise, just like her. And he's a man who understood how to believe the promise of God. And he is used as the example in Scripture. And if he's the father of us, well, of us all the people of faith, he is the father of us. That's what he's called. So we ought to go look at what the Father did, why God uses him as an example of faith. So it's important that we look at, it's important we look at these. Now, what I'm going to do is this. We're not going to go through and read all these scriptures, read all this stuff about Abraham. I'm going to tell you with some things, places you can look. Now, we're going to go back over to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and, I'm going to read a few scriptures there, and the other places I'm just going to talk, I'll tell you where you can go through and look. One of the things that I would, if I were you, is number one, understand this, the New Testament did not exist in Paul's day or in John's day. It did not exist. They taught from the Old Testament. That's what they taught from. They taught from the, they didn't have a New Testament to teach from. They taught Jesus Christ. They taught the resurrection from the Old Testament. Most preachers can't even preach it through the New Testament. They preach a bunch of religious junk. They could preach it from the Old Testament. They preach Christ, they preach healing and deliverance. They preached it from the Old Testament. That's where they preached it from. See, people say today the Old Testament ain't valid. What are they talking about? I have no clue what they mean. They preached it from the Old Testament. They took those scriptures out of there. The New Testament, it's something like in the New Testament quotes Old Testament scriptures, I think 4,000 sometimes. We have such a shallow church world today. It is so shallow and so doesn't know much about it. Our big name ministers, I've sometimes just wondered, I say, man, they ought to, you know, need to back up. Let's sit down. This book is incredible. This book is phenomenal. All the things that happened to Israel, it says were written for my admonition. Then I ought to be reading it, I would think, to find out some things. Because we have a wonderful faith story told by Abraham. It's a wonderful, he is the father of faith, and he walked that before the law ever came along, and he walked that way back yonder. So why wouldn't I look back, see how he walked by faith? He's called the father of our faith, so praise the Lord, hallelujah. I want to know what my dad's been doing, hallelujah. He's my father of faith. And I want to read to you, because this is God, this is in the beginning when God spoke to Abraham. And at this time, he was called Abram. And so we want to look at, keep this in mind. He wasn't Abraham at this time. His name was Abram. And in the first verse of the 12th chapter, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now understand this, what he said. There's some things that you need to understand, it will really help you from a standpoint of faith-wise, is to understand. We're going to talk about this guy and what God told him to do. God told him to get away from his family. He told him to get away. Go out to this place I'm going to take you. You know, sometimes you need to get away from people. You know, sometimes the people you hang around are some of your major problems. Now, we work around people all the time and you're out here working, but you can choose who you hang around with. You know, I ain't going to so unbelieving church. I ain't going to some old, you know. Who you hang around with is hugely important in your life. He said, get out and get away. In other words, he wasn't going to fulfill what God wanted to do staying where he was at. If you read the scripture, his dad was on his way to Canaan, but stopped in Haran and never went to Canaan. The scriptures tell us, if you'll back up and read it, I believe his dad was, God was talking to him, but he stopped. What you hang around, sometimes your family can be the biggest curse around your neck. I've learned to follow God. I don't care what my family does and my relatives do. I don't care. My job ain't try to keep them happy and keep them liking me. That ain't my job. My job's to follow God. Understand, my family ain't number one on my agenda. God's supposed to be number one on our agenda in obedience to Him. But today, you know, we have all this cultural junk. Man's culture instead of God's culture. Because I found this out. If you want to be a blessing to people, follow God. Abraham became a blessing. You're sitting in the blessing of Abraham today because he obeyed that. Who are you blessing? See, if you're not in obedience to God, you're not blessing anybody. See, we need to walk in the light of these things, folks. You know, we're talking a subject of faith. You understand, and why people's faith. Abraham now is 75 years old. God told him, you got to leave everything. So, you know, they've had in digs and that stuff in Iran, in that area where he lived at. He came out of a pretty wealthy family. They had servants and all this kind of stuff. When he left, he took servants with him and stuff. He had hired people and stuff that went along with him, and people that he owned at that time. He went along with him. And he went out, he went from living in buildings to out to living in tents. Don't sound like a blessing to me. But Abraham had Abraham had a bigger vision than most people to do. Because he saw what God said of him being a blessing down the road to others were going to be blessed. Most people only ever look for their own blessing. He had something here God wanted him to do. This man did this thing. He's phenomenal. Well, if we go on down through to this, we follow. Now, I'm not going to go through and, you know, and go to these and read through them. You can write them down if you want to. You can go over. In Genesis 13, in verses 14 through 16, you find this. That Abram went to the land. He went there. Abram went out there. And that's where God then made the promise and said that he's going to give him the land of Canaan. He said, this land is yours. I'm giving it to you. So he went out there. Now, when he went out there, the Lord hadn't told him he was going to give him the land till after he went out there. Understand how things work, a life of faith with God. A life of faith with God, you don't know everything up front, and he's not going to tell you. You can pray night and day and do fast, do all you want. There's certain things he will never, never, never tell you till you go obey what you know to do. Till you do it, he'll never talk to you. I've had people already and say, well, you know, God don't seem to talk to me. I said, what's the thing he told you last to do that you didn't do? You go do that, and I'll guarantee you, he'll talk to you. But he's not going to talk to you if you aren't obedient about what you know to do. You got to walk in faith with what you know. Abraham went on what he knew. God said, go out there, I'm going to bless you. And he, well, you know, I'm going to make you great in other nations. I'm going to bless you. God didn't tell him how he's going to bless him. He went out there. He walked out, went out there, and God said, look, I'm going to give you this land. And he said, to you and your descendants, this is your land. Now, Abram never inherited that land other than by word from God himself. It was never his. It was for his descendants. You know, one thing is about, we look at Abraham and you look at Jacob and these different ones. They were looking and had a view ahead to their descendants down the road of their walking right to bring a blessing down the road. If you don't have that in you, you're not going to be a blessing to your descendants. We're a blessing in our descendants by fulfilling the will of God and walking down the road so God can bless our descendants. We're always trying to be the blesser of our descendants. I want my descendants to have the blessing of God. And so you want that to happen. Well, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, in 15th chapter, there we find that God tells Abram, he said in the 15th chapter in verses 4 through 6, he tells Abram, he will have descendants out of his own body as many as the stars of the heavens. That's where he told him this. So, see, Abram's out here walking this place, and God slowly is telling him things. Now, there's other events and stuff that take place, but I want you to see this deals with the faith of the promise. So he tells Abram at that time, he said, look, you're going to have all these the descendants. He took him outside. He said, look up at the stars. Now, you can't do that today out here. We have so much refracted light. I can remember back when I was a kid, you'd walk outside, and I remember you could see the Milky Way across the sky. So today you can't see it at all. You know, it's not even visible. It's not even visible outside. I mean, we could see the Milky Way. It was so plain and clear. I was down in Mexico back some years ago, and we went out in a place between two mountains there in a desert place, and driving down through at night, stopped. The moon wasn't out. So you have no reflection light because there's no major cities around or anything like that. A few small pueblos, probably 30 or 40 miles around the area. And we stopped, and you step outside, you looked up at the stars, and it was just the most astounding thing you ever seen in your life. It's nothing. It was like looking through a telescope. But we don't have that today. When Abraham was there, he's standing out there, and God takes him out. When he could see the stars, like today, you can count what you can see. You know, you have about 40 stars you see, and you... and the But he tells him of all these stars out here, he said, that's your descendants. Say, could you count all them? Well, as many as the stars, you're going to have a descendants that are going to come out of you. Now, in Genesis, the 16th chapter, Abraham's wife, who was Sarai, she wasn't Sarah at the time. She was still her name that she came out with Abraham. She came along. Now, God had told her he was going to have descendants were going to come out of his body. Now, I want you to understand this as we look through this thing. So Hagar was her servant. She took Hagar and gave her to Abraham to produce a child. And the child that they produced was born was Ishmael. Now, I want you to see, we need to understand this. People criticize Abraham for doing this and going along with the Ishmael thing. But we need to understand, Abraham, after Sarah died, Abraham married another woman and produced numbers of kids. It's because he said to him, nations are going to come out of you, not one. God said that. People say, well, he missed it by having sex with Hagar. No, he didn't. God never told him. Up till this point, God had never told him that Sarah was going to have a child. God never told him that. He was not held accountable. You're not held accountable for what you don't know. God said you're going to have one that's going to come out of your body. So they're out there. And like with Sarah, Sarah turns around and gives her, said, hey, take my maiden and have a child through me. That was a thing that they used to do back then at that time. And she did that. And so she gave it to him. Abraham had produced Ishmael. And see, his number one, you'll never find God said anything or made ever a remark to Abraham that he missed it or made a mistake concerning that. Never, there's not in the scriptures. The only people that say that are preachers and other people who just pass stuff on. You need to get a hold of this. You can't read the Old Testament in light of what you know about the New Testament and drag over the revelation you have and lay it on them. God don't work that way. And see, we know certain things and we judge certain things and we judge them wrong about Scripture. It's just like with Jacob. They judge him wrong all the time. All the time he's run down and stepped by ministers. Is this guy this cheating thing? Well, this cheater, God's the one that was on his side. Okay? So God must be on cheater's side according to most ministers. But see, people, because they don't understand, they have no clue, and they just go on and talk and say things and don't understand how God works. And if you don't understand those things, you'll judge yourself wrong in how God deals with you today. You need to sit down and read the scriptures. Get your religious ideas out of your mind. Get those things out of there and sit down. We were told a lot of things and a lot of them weren't right. So Abram produces this child. Now we go to Genesis in the 17th chapter. And this is a ride. Now, I want you to think about this. Abraham enters the land at 75 years old. In the 17th chapter, now he's 99 years old. God, meanwhile, in between there, has dealt with him. There's a number of things you can look at. But dealing with this promise, I'm hitting the highlights of this promise that he made concerning a child. Abram's now 99 years old, and the Lord shows up they say, well, it was Jesus in the Old Testament. But sometimes the manifestation, the angel of the Lord came. In other words, if we would take some things that said in Scripture, it was a manifestation, was an angel who was representing, whatever it was, archangel was representing Jesus Christ himself. It's probably what it was. Because we have, from a scripture, then it talks about the Lord came, says the Lord came. But this is one thing, it's about an angel, you'll find out in the scriptures. When angels appear and talk to people, they say nothing but what the Lord says. They don't talk anything else. When they come in from a messenger of the Lord, they don't have a conversation about other things. They just tell you exactly what the Lord said. And so these ones showed up. In fact, these angels showed up. They sat down and ate with Abraham and everything. But Abraham's 99 years old, and the Lord speaks to him concerning things that time. His name is Abram. At this time, he's 99 years old. And now, listen to this, 99. And now God says to him, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. I'm going to change your name. I'm making this change for you. See, what was the purpose of that? What was the purpose of the name change? God is going to get him now to start making a confession, to say something. His name is name that he's going to use to tell people that he is. His name now means a father of a multitude. Here's a guy who has a child. He has a child through a servant woman. He has a child. But God had told him down through all this time about all of his descendants are going to come out of him. And now the Lord speaks to him and says, I'm going to change your name. Your name now is going to be changed from Abram to Abraham, which means a father of an multitude. Now when people speak of him and talk to him, they're going to say to him when they use his name, they're going to be calling him that, and he calls himself that. See, God's going to always deal with words. He can't get you to say the covenant. He can't get you to speak it. He can't bless you. Understand this. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if you don't learn to control your mouth and talk your mouth right, you may never experience any of them. All the blessings, even though, well, you can walk in the perfect will of God. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this. He said, you can walk in the perfect will of God and never have the blessing of God on your life. Because he said, no, just because you're walking in the perfect will don't mean you can lay faith down. He said, you still have to take a hold of them by faith. The blessings are taken a hold by faith. They don't just fall on you. If they did, you just do something and everything would come to you. Well, did you ever find out? I found out that don't work. That don't happen. You got to believe for them. You got to confess. You got to say. Faith is a thing that we're walking in. You want to walk in the perfect will of God because then all the blessings are there for you. But you're still take a hold of them by faith. And so Abraham, God gets Abraham to start saying, I'm the father of a multitude. He meets people. Now, can you imagine this? I would think about this. He has one child. It's by a servant girl. And he's telling people, I'm a father of a multitude. Now, can you imagine? This you know, we sit down and think, well, Abraham, how easy. Do you think he did? I wonder what Sarah said to him when he first told her. You know, I've lived long enough to know what goes on and stuff, and I'm going to guarantee and say, God told you that? Well, God told him. He said, I want you to be Abram anymore. I want you to be Abraham. So, and God told him at that time, he said to him again, he said, nations and kings are going to come out of you. Nations, not one nation. Nations. And out of Abraham came nations. Because God said, nations will be blessed. The nations that come out of him are to be blessed. They're coming out of him. So, one group's blessed. No, God had planned from the beginning through this one, this man of faith that's walking by faith with God. Now, God at that time, then he says to Abraham in chapter 17 in Genesis, he changes Sarai's name to Sarah. Now, this is the first time. Now, listen to this. In 24 years he's been in the land, God only at this time, 1 year before the birth of the child through her, which is Isaac, did God say that she was going to have the child, the covenant child. Never told her. For 24 years, he's walking around about himself and believing something God says. But God had never said to him that Sarah would have the child until a year before they were that the child showed up. Sarah is 89 years old and Abraham is 99 years old. You know, sometimes God is going to, you know what, you know, this is one of the things. He brought Abraham and Sarah to a place where they couldn't have a plan B. Some of you, the hardest thing that you have about faith and your problems is because you won't go to the place that you don't have another option. Where you come down, there's only one way out in God. And most people get there because they never allowed to take God to get them there. When they finally come to, like people with sickness, they'll come down and get something sick where nobody can help them, the doctors can't help them. And they have never developed in any of that area, and they can't get it then either. So you got to come to where you stand out in faith with God to where there's not another option, because you need to develop your faith. Because if things don't come, would you be willing to stand for 24 years? They stood for 24 years. He's out in that land. He's been walking around for 24 years out there, and God comes along at 24 years and says, "Nah, call yourself Abraham. Call yourself a father of a multitude. I want you to get a hold of this. What do you call you? When you're sick, what do you call you? Do you call yourself well? What's your name? What name do you put on yourself? Financially, what name do you put on yourself? What's your name?" Many people go say, call themselves the wrong names going in prayer. They go and complain to God and gripe to God about things and call themselves the wrong thing. God can't bless you if He can't get your mouth straight. What do you call you? See, God gave him a name. He wants this blessing that God has for him, and God gives him a name that is tied to that blessing to bring that blessing to pass. And you need to understand, with any promise of God, it is identical. It changes not today. Today it's not different because, well, things are different today, you know, because we're in a different time and the Bible is just not the same as it was. It's identical. The kingdom has never changed one iota. The church has changed and made it a mess. But the kingdom has never changed. And see, what name do you tie to you? What name do you tie to your blessing? What name do you do to things? See, do you call yourself what you're seeking, the covenant you say you believe you receive? Do you call yourself that? Do you make that the name that you call? Or do you have something else you call it? See, Abraham's the pattern, folks. Abraham is given to us as a pattern of how this thing works. This is why, you know, I learned, you know, Kenneth Hagin taught this. One of the things he taught about this when I first started off. And I understood this and what the pattern was. This is the pattern. This is the pattern of faith. What do you call yourself? See, most people will all talk different. They'll talk about their problem. They'll have a name. They go tell other people. Because you get people, they'll come along and they'll want to know, you know, that if you're limping, they want to know why you're limping and this, that. And you got to tell them. You don't have to tell them nothing. I just say, if somebody says to me, I say, I believe I'm healed. I'm a healed guy. That's what I believe. That usually shuts them down real quick. They don't like to talk about that kind of stuff, you know. The people who have, the nosy people never like faith talk. So get it right out there with them. You can shut them up really quick. Because they'll be running, we'll see you then. I want to go gossip about you to somebody else. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, folks. We're hitting on it. Hallelujah. So here we find the first time God tells Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child. She's going to have one. Now, her name was changed to Sarah, and the word Sarah just means princess. I'm going to guarantee that was probably a good name for her to hear because she sure didn't feel like a princess. She couldn't have children. You know, she's having a child through somebody else, and God says, you tell her she's princess. She's princess, and he's the father of a multitude. And say, princess, you're going to have a child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She's going to be the mother of this multitude that's coming out of this thing. And so, but understand, this is runs up to the year before it goes because God tells Abraham this and says that next year at this time, the Lord says, you're going to have that child. So what happens? You need to understand this. The 99-year-old man and the 89-year-old mother have to get together and having sex. God didn't wave a wand over them. We live in this little fantasy Christian world, this little fantasy thing, religious thing. We don't talk about this stuff. We better get talking about it. You never understand the faith thing if you don't. See, you got to keep doing. That's why the Bible says, don't get weary and well doing it. Keep doing what's right, even though it don't look like it works. See, under the curse of the law was the fact that women would go barren. Under the blessing was no one would go barren. That's the blessing. God's blessing her. God's bringing a child through her. God's going to do this. See, in the scriptures, they say God was the one keeping them to have a child. God wasn't keeping them from having a child. They're living in the world. This is the devil doing this stuff. But see, they said, if you find in the scriptures and you look, they blamed everything on God. They said, God did this. But to understand the limited knowledge they have. See, you can't go around quoting that today, because if you do, you're speaking against God, because we're taught better in the New Testament. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I came to do some bad stuff to you. Is abundant life not being able to produce children? Is that abundant life? No, I didn't know abundant life. Was Jesus a liar? What'd he come for? But see, God's plan was for her to have a child. Now understand this. So they know this. In a year's time, in that 3 month, they have a 3 month period there when they're going to have to have, she's going to have to get pregnant in that time. They said, but they can't listen to all that. We're going to find out. You know, you can't listen to all these people say, you're too old. No place in Scripture tells you that you're too old, that a promise won't work for you. That's because men believe men all the time. We believe our doctors are our gods. They're the ones that we worship. And when they say, and they say this and that, they're the ones we bow and worship to. And they're the ones where we set our goals. Our hopes are laid out toward God based on what the doctor said. And then we set what our faith is based on what he said, what we want, based on what the doctor said. We measure it by his words instead of measuring it by the word of God. I'm not against doctors. I'm just against people being so darn stupid, Christians being so dumb. The doctor don't set my goals. The Bible sets my goals. My hopes are laid in the Word of God. If your hopes are based on what the doctor said and then you're trying to get in faith, good luck. I've done their funerals already. You don't do that. The Bible becomes your place where your hopes and dreams are found in. And then you get into faith of what the Word of God says. What God wants to put hopes and dreams in you. You know, God give you the desires of your heart. Well, how can he do that when the desires of your heart are just measured at what some doctor said? So you need to get what the Bible says about you. Get that in you. Grab a hold of that. Go for something higher. Go for something better. Glory to God. Shoot for something at the top. Glory to God. In doing that, I want to go over, we're going to go back to Romans, the fourth chapter, because we're going to read through down through this, because this is the Apostle Paul then writing about Abraham, of what took place. Because we wanted to lay that out. These are the conditions that what went on and what happened. See, we can read down through these things in the New Testament, and we read them in a few verses down there, and we think that all this stuff just happened in 10 minutes. These people walked by faith for years on end. They walked by faith, stood with God, followed what God said. God blessed them out there doing things, but there was a promise that needed to come to pass. Abraham getting rich wasn't on top of the list to come to pass. God sent him out here to make a nation that was going to bless the entire, you know, humanity down through the ages. That was the main reason of going out there. That land was the main reason that God had, was establishing something for eternity, not for something just temporal, some temporal money and stuff. Thank God, God blessed him and he became rich. We can have some money. But money is the end of nothing. Riches are the end of nothing. There's things that are eternal that you want to get a hold of, and when you understand them, the rest of the stuff you'll find is so easy to get. The rest of the stuff out there, that stuff won't drag you off to the side where you get trapped into those things. You don't want to fall into the money trap. Hallelujah. You want money to stay that wonderful tool in your toolbox that you can pull out when you need it and do what you need to do and follow the will of God, and your life can be blessed and you can bless others. You want to do that, but you can never take it to the forefront. What's the vision that God has? What's God's end result? What's he shooting for? He told Abraham, it's being a blessing to the nations. One of the things that we're called to as the church is to be a blessing to the nations, not a curse. A blessing to the nations. Hallelujah. In Romans, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start at verse 13. Romans 4, it says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Understand this about righteousness and faith. Get this thing tied together. There's only one way to be righteous before God, and that's through your faith. That's the only way. It's an impossibility. Righteousness is not something that we get just because we're born again. Righteousness is something we walk and live in. To walk by faith is to walk in righteousness. If a person gets born again, thank God, becomes a righteousness of God. Many Christians get born again and never walk and live a life of faith and never live righteously. They say they're good people. They don't do bad things. They don't do this, but they never live a righteous life because they don't live a life of faith. They don't even understand what faith is. Their confessions are always talking the wrong stuff, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong stuff. They are never righteous or acting righteous. We think righteous is just doing nice stuff. Thank God for people who do nice stuff. But God's measuring stick's different than man's. I know very nice people that hardly get blessed, and I know people ain't near as nice as they are, and God blesses them more than the guy that acts really nice all the time. Why? Because that other person knows how to operate by faith. Knows how to believe God for things, and the other guy don't. Your perfection's not measured by your good deeds. It's measured by your faith, your trust in God. See, many people, they got their own righteousness. They're going to get their own paycheck. We'll go down and look at this. It says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. Because the law bringing about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now you see it in its context. This is talking about there's a righteousness. We're talking about the promise. The assurity of the promise is by faith, not by those who are just of the law. It is by faith. The promise may be given by God, but you may never experience a promise. Every promise of God is identical. The promise here, he's talking about looking at men. We came to Jesus Christ through faith. That's great. You can come into the kingdom by faith, but that doesn't mean you're going to get anything while you're in the kingdom unless you operate by faith. Faith is how everything works. Without faith, you can't please him. You're not pleasing God just because you got born again. He's glad you did. But you might live a life that never pleases him. Because it's your life. It's a life that's lived by what you see, touch, taste, smell. That's the life is lived out. We know Abraham didn't do that. Abraham went to a land. God said, "Go out there, I'm going to bless you." Never told him what the blessing was or nothing. Judgment. And Abraham went out there. He went by faith. God said, "Go." And he said, "I'm going." "Okay, we're out here." He goes out there to that land. God gets him out and said, "Your descendants, you and your descendants, I'm giving you this land for you and your descendants. You're out here in the land." He said, "That's really good." And he don't own none of it. And he's walking around. This guy stays out there. He's following. Why? He's walking by faith. He's righteous before God. Listen, verse 17, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed." Who did he believe? God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This God, this is what God does. He believed this God that said, "This land belongs to you. I'm going to make you the father of a multitude." He's believing this God, yet none of it exists. That's what faith is about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. If you can see it and you're believing, you're wasting your time. It is in the not seen realm. God sent him. Abraham couldn't see none of it. God told him out of him, his body's going to come a multitude. Sarah can't have kids. He sent him into a land. He's moving around in it in tents. Now, he's a rich guy with tents. He probably had a tent just to keep his money in. I don't know. And his stuff he had. But he's moving around. He got all these servants. He got enough guys. He has an army. Go ahead and read through and you'll find out he gets an army. And he goes up against a number of kings. This guy, God's blessing him out here, but he's out here. But the things of the promise, none of them seem to be happening. Abraham's not changing. What he sees don't faze him. He's believing the promise. What he sees doesn't move him. God's made a promise to him. That's what he's believing. He's believing in this God. This God who does this. If you want to be like God, you got to call things that don't exist as though they do. When you're feeling sick and say, "You know what I am? My name's healed. Oh, you're just lying. You're not telling. No, God said I'm calling things that don't exist because I want to bring that into existence. That's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by you calling into existence what you want, not what you see and not what you feel. That ain't how it works. Well, I just want to tell it like it is. Well, then stay sick and quit asking me to pray for you. Because it won't change. If your mouth don't change, it won't change. It won't change. So you want to find out things here. Well, look here, because the Apostle Paul gives some wonderful things that we can learn in here about our faith and hooking up in our faith. These are wonderful things that we can look at. Now, listen to this. This is this Abraham. This God who gives what? Life to the dead, calls those things that don't exist as though they do. He says, now listen to this. In contrary to hope, it says that hope believed. So in other words, in contrary to natural hope, there was no natural hope. He got to the point, he's 99 years old. His wife's 89. God made a promise. But what? In contrary to hope. He said in hope believed. What did he believe? He believed in a hope that God, what God said. Which you couldn't see with the eye. He could look over and see that beautiful Sarah of years past beside him. It's an old lady. And if he had a mirror to look in, he looked and look at the old dude and look at her and say, you know, it's one thing you get older, you get undressed, you don't look near as pretty as you did when you were younger. Did you notice that? The body takes on a shape of its own, you know. When you're young, it looks so good, you know. You just, hey, we're like, oh, wow, isn't this something? As you get older, it's like we could scare little children with this. All right, well, get down to it. Hey, folks, this is the faith and where you walk at. This is the life you live in. We live in this fantasy faith church stuff. No. It's when things get, they aren't looking at all right. They don't look at all good. This is what Abraham's putting up with. God held out for 25 years on this thing. Till it came to pass. Where they couldn't have any hope but in the hope of what God said. That's all was left. Man couldn't do anything. And I just admire Abraham. He stood. He stood through it all. Praise God. He stood through it all. Hallelujah. He deserves to be called the father of faith. Hallelujah. This guy did a wonderful thing. It says, contrary to hope, and hope he believed. So why? So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now listen to what it says here. Verse 19. You got to get these things I want to talk to you about. And not being weak in faith. Now, he wasn't weak in faith. What did he do that kept him from being weak in faith? He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. How do you stay strong in faith? You don't consider the natural circumstance. You will never be strong in faith as long as you just keep talking about the natural circumstance. You keep looking at the natural circumstance. You keep measuring things by the natural circumstance. You'll never be strong in faith. Strong faith comes from standing and saying, the Word of God says this, I don't care what it looks like. And I'm going to tell you what, surely enough, I'll guarantee you, I bet there were servants in the household and there were servants around saying, oh, did you hear what they've been saying? Yeah, Abraham said God told him Sarah's going to have a kid. Yeah, I bet that's good. They're one of those crazy faith people, you know. Yeah, they believe that stuff out here, yeah. If you want to have strong faith, you can't look at the circumstances. If you keep looking at the circumstances, I'll tell you this, you're destroying your faith. You keep your eye on the promise, the promise, the promise, and that's what it says. You know, you got to sometime, you know, as I learned, you know, you have a problem, you know, something that on your body or something like that, you got to quit looking at it all the time and checking it out all the time and looking at it all the time. All you're doing is killing your own faith. See, you can't stay in faith and do that. It doesn't work in that manner. It doesn't work that way. Keep looking. So we say here. Now, here's another thing. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. How did he do that? But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See, you got to keep giving glory to God that promise is yours. It belongs to you, that you'll have it. See, I've learned this, Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, praying, I learned this years ago. He'd say, you pray for something, you know, take you know, a few minutes and pray, ask and believe you receive it. Once you believe you receive it, you should be giving glory to God and thanking God. See, this is what people don't do. They don't say, with him, see, Abraham is walking along giving glory to God. He's thanking God that God's word's coming to pass when it don't look like it's coming to pass. He's giving glory to God for doing what God said he was going to do when it don't even look like it's being done. See, you're going to waver. You're going to waver. You cannot stand. You're going to waver. You're going to kick the feet right out from under the strength of your faith if you just keep walking around. Well, you know, it's like Christians, I've learned this. When I, over the years, somebody would come along and say something to me and then they'd say, well, we're still just praying and believing. And I know this, they ain't believing nothing. What are you praying about? If you believed you're receiving it, he don't say he was praying about the promise. He wasn't praying about the promise. He was giving glory to God that the promise was his. He was magnifying God. Thank God it's mine. See, I've learned over the years, you know, somebody prays for you, lays hands on you and prays for you for healing. All you ever do after that is give glory to God that, hallelujah, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God, for healing me. I want to thank you for delivering me. I never say anything about it other than that after that. I give glory to God. Why? If you don't do that, your faith is going to waver because you're going to start looking at what you see. You got to magnify God. You got to keep God and the promise up big. You can't be looking at the other, talking about the other, doing the other, and at the same time, keep yourself from wavering. It won't work. You got to deal with your eyes, what you see. You got to deal with what you hear other people saying. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I'm born again in Abraham. If Abraham can do this, there's no excuse we can't. You have no excuse. You don't have an excuse. You don't have that, well, you don't understand the family I was born in. What are you talking about? You're born into the kingdom of God. When a person tells me their problems because the family they're born into, I know this. They're a faithless person. They view themselves by what their human past. I'm going to tell you, don't matter about my human past. Don't matter what my mommy and daddy did. That has no course in my life. I've decided the Word of God's the course of my life. I've decided Jesus is my Lord, not my daddy and my mommy and whomever else. You decide these things. See, you got to come to that place where you decide it don't matter what they do or what they did. Am I going to let that affect me or am I going to let the Word be the effect of my life? I'm going to make the Word say, the Word is what it says. And I look at my parents, thank God, hallelujah, they did the best they understood and they did. And if they made a mistake, that is, I ain't holding nothing against. I don't care about it all. I can set the course of my life by the Word of God. I have no excuse for anything else. I have no excuse for it. All it is today we throw everything on somebody else because we don't want to stand up and take our place where we belong. Blame somebody else and then I don't have to change. No, I got to change. Hallelujah. Why? Because I want the blessing. I'll tell you what, I'm shooting for a goal. I want the blessing. I want the blessing of God. People say, oh, we don't serve God for the blessing. Well, I sure do. Why does he keep sticking it out there in my face? You don't want me to have it. What do you make all them promises for? I'm sorry. I want all them promises. Don't you? Well, let's make it a goal for us. Say, I'm going for that. I'm not going to let somebody in the past keep me from my goal. I'm not going to allow them to do it. I don't care what they did. They're not going to keep me from my goal. Hallelujah. We're shooting for something. And praise God, we can arrive there. We can go there. Hallelujah. Listen what it says. And being fully convinced, he gave glory and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. How did he get fully convinced? He got fully convinced because he didn't consider his body. He didn't consider Sarah's body. He didn't waver from the promise through unbelief, but he kept strengthening himself, giving glory to God. That's what he did, and he became fully convinced. If that's what he did to become fully convinced, I can do the same thing. See, this is a pattern. This is how you do it. He's laying out what the pattern, fully convinced. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it may take you a little while to get fully convinced. If you keep doing the right thing, you will get to the place you're fully convinced. You can't see it any other way. I can't see it any other way. There's things that I've stood concerning God, I can't see it any other way. I can't even imagine it any other way. Can't even imagine it anymore. This system works. This system works. It runs contrary. It runs contrary. Sarah being getting pregnant, it was contrary to everything natural. That a woman's going to turn 90 years old, she's going to have a child. Oh my God, could you see the doctors flip out today? Could you see Facebook with a woman going to have a child at 90? Facebook would be so full of people criticizing, talking down, and the Christians would be on the top of the list saying it. Oh yeah. Because if the person made mention that God wanted them to have it, oh, they would talk against them. The Christians would run them down like crazy. Christians would be on the top of the list. Faithless people talk about faith. They say, you need to trust the Lord. I was so tired of people telling me, you need to trust the Lord, and they're the ones that never trust the Lord. Always telling somebody else they ought to trust the Lord, and they ain't got a clue how to trust Him. I'll tell you what, you stand on the promise of God. You do these things that Abraham did. You sit down and you look and meditate on these till this gets in you. And this is how you do it. This is the pattern laid out. So this is what I do. And start laying it. When you stand in faith with something, start, take that pattern. Say, this is what I need to do right here. This is the pattern concerning the promise of God and having it fulfilled in my life. This is how I get it. This is what I do. It's simple. It's not a hard thing to do. He laid it out in a few verses, in two verses, what to do so you could have strong faith. Two verses. He tells us how to do it. Glory to God. So it isn't some hard thing to do. So what does it say out of this? Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, faith. Every time you step in faith with God and you start operating in the principle of faith, you are righteous before God to receive that promise. See, many people are unrighteous from the standpoint they want a certain promise, but they don't get into faith. And that promise, they're unrighteous before God to receive that. I am righteous. My faith declares my righteousness. When I declare that by His stripes I'm healed, I'm declaring that I am righteous to have healing because I'm in line with the Word of God. You know, there was only two guys that were righteous to go in to the land of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of them were unrighteous. They had an evil report. They spoke against God's word. Those two men spoke God's word, and they were righteous before God to enter the land. The other ones couldn't go to the land because they were unrighteous. And this is why. Righteousness isn't something we just got the day we got saved. Righteousness is a walk. Every promise, I must stand righteously to get it. I have to do the things that are right to have it. And if I'm doing it by the way the Word says faith, God cannot deny me because I'm standing in righteousness. I have the right to have that. I'm in the position of it. I'm righteous before God to have it. I'm in line with His Word. See, there are many people, I've watched over there, many people, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they say that. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful revelation. You need to get that. But you need to get concerning that righteousness every time I operate in faith. Faith is an act of righteousness every time. Whatever it is I'm believing God for, it's an act of righteousness. When you responded by faith in Christ Jesus, you became the righteousness of God. What? On the basis of faith. Your faith made you righteous in the presence of God. And it is with every promise. Every promise is taken. That's why, well, without faith, you can't please God. Why? Because you can't be righteous. Every promise of God is received through the righteousness of faith. Every one of them. And when you're standing by faith, this is one thing, as I've always known, over there. When I'm standing and I know I've got it, I'm in line with the Word, I'm righteous, God will see to it that I get that because I'm righteous in His sight to have that promise. If you don't know that, your faith will waver. Abraham knew he was walking in line with the Word of God. He is acting out. His faith was considered righteousness. God said, he gets to carry this thing out. See, his daddy might have been the guy that God wanted to bring out there, but his daddy didn't end up there because he didn't do what was righteous. He didn't walk by faith. He didn't go out of Haran, go over to Canaan by faith. He didn't do it. He can't get the blessing. He's not righteous. We're in a camp that is righteous before God, and no sinners can get what I can get from God. No sinner can have what I can have from God because you have to have righteousness to get it. And they can't do it. They can't follow the Word. They can't walk in it. They're people of sight. And we have so many sight people in the church world today. Most of the church world is sight people. And they're supposed to be faith people. Hallelujah. Believe and take the promise. Be righteous before God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when you stand, you know what the Word says, and you're standing and walking in like the Word says, you're righteous before God. That promise has to come to you. If God didn't move it for you and do it for you, He would be a liar. It would destroy His whole system. When He looks and a person's walking by faith, I am pleased. They're righteous. They're righteous in their asking. They're righteous in their believing. They're righteous in their doing. It belongs to them. It's theirs. Hallelujah. It's yours. That's how Abraham could stand. He was fully convinced. Hallelujah. I'm following this thing. God's going to have to do it. If God don't do it, He's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't lie before God. Don't make up excuses of why it didn't work. Hallelujah. You get over and get standing in righteousness, you'll know it's going to work. It can't come out any different. Hallelujah. Because I'm walking by faith. Faith is the proof of righteousness before God. And faith always inherits the promise. It always does. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, let me just read this to you in closing here. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak." It's the principle of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. There's no such thing as faith without speaking. We believe. That is the spirit of faith. See, many people, many Christians really don't walk in the spirit of faith. They came into the kingdom through it, and they just throw it down at that. That's where it is. It's, you know, I got born again. I confess Jesus as Lord, you know, and believe God raised Him from the dead. They throw it down there and walk the rest of their Christian walk and never use that principle. That principle is laid out in there. That principle is laid out there for you and me. That principle, He's telling us, you have the same spirit of faith. See, they have us. They know what the spirit of faith. They had that when they came in the kingdom. They laid the spirit of faith down. The whole kingdom is based on the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. That's the kingdom. That's what the whole thing. You go on, you go down and read. Go over to Mark the 4th chapter and read through the Mark the 4th chapter. Mark the 4th chapter starts. It goes through the parable of the sower, and all the parables that are said after that time all tie to the parable of the sower. It's all how the kingdom works, and it's all about talking and what you say. And we've taken the parables apart and spread ones apart, and we should have never done it because we've said they meant certain things and they didn't. If you tied them to what they're spoken to, you know, the hide in the lampstand, that was about the parable of the sower. That was the one that came hiding your candle under a bushel, was spoken right after the parable of the sower. He spoke those things. It was about speaking, saying, planting stuff in and getting fruit. Don't hide it. See, you might be, many Christians are children of light, but they are, their life is under a bushel. Why? They're not walking around saying, they're not walking around confessing, they're not producing fruit. Their life's under a bushel. And then he went on to say, with that, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you're listening to. Why? Because what you're listening to is going to cause you might keep the bushel on. Loads of people, the churches they sit in keeps the bushel on them. They keep the bushel on themselves by listening to a preacher talking to junkies talking. And they keep the bushel on their life. You don't want to keep the bushel on your life. See, we want to walk in the light of these things. See, in Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's what? In your mouth and in your heart. What is it? That is the word of faith which we preach. Where's the word of faith? It's in your heart and in your mouth. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith. See, people say, I don't believe these word of faith preachers. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ was a word of faith preacher. Did you ever see him preach any unbelief? See, we got preachers preaching unbelief today and think it's some kind of great thing that they do it. It's a word of faith that we preach. We preach the word of faith. That's what I'm called to do, is to preach the word of faith. The word's to bring faith to you so you believe God, you can get a hold of something. It's not to keep you from something. Hallelujah. Your sin was keeping you from things. Your old life kept you from the grace of God. It kept you from the goodness of God. We come into the kingdom and to live in the kingdom because of the blessing. Why do you think so many people want to come to America? Why do you think all those wonderful Muslims want to get out of their wonderful religious countries and come here and live? Why? Because their countries are dumps and there ain't nothing but garbage in the things, and they can't stand to live there. Why? Because you come here and it's good. You come here, you can have stuff, and you can get things, and you can do things. Well, that's the kingdom of God. The church has preached a false kingdom, and people want to stay out of it. They think it's the dump. Because a Christian, well, you never know what God's going to do. I want to tell you, there's a revival coming. People are going to fight to get in the kingdom because the true church is going to rise up, and all this religious junk out of here, people are going to vomit and leave it. See, we have to have a kingdom that people want to get into. This is the most wonderful kingdom. This is a kingdom that all things are possible to him that believe it. That's my kingdom. That's the one Jesus gave me. What do I want to have another one for? What do I want to have the kingdom? God's making me sick for a purpose. You want that kingdom? It's the major preach one. See, I don't want that kingdom. I have a kingdom. It's the most marvelous thing. And this kingdom, Jesus Christ, has been made Lord over this kingdom. That same Jesus has made Lord, seated us in heavenly places with him in this kingdom. And in this kingdom, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. In this kingdom, hallelujah, is the place where all things are possible to him that believeth. And this kingdom is the place you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say, you're going to have it. This is the kingdom. This is our kingdom. This is the kingdom that anybody can, you believe Jesus is Lord. And with your voice, you confess that. You can be born again. Such a simplistic thing. This is why religion has such a hard time with this, because it's too simple. How could you say words that would just make you get saved? No, we have to have some great intellectual thinking about all this. We've got to really be smart. See, Jesus made the kingdom for Ed Gibson. Simple. If we had to do it by intellect, I'd be in trouble. The great intellectual thing of the kingdom is its simplicity. Not its complicated, you know, theories and all of this stuff. It's not that. It's its simplicity. To the lowest person, education on the totem pole can still get it as easy as the guy who's over here that knows a lot. It's no different. It's simple. If you believe it and say it, you can have it. See, it sounds too simple to be true, doesn't it? All this teaching I've been on, it's just been about this. This is what it's about, but it's too simple. We've complicated it. We've had so much religious training, and we get it in our mind, and we've got to throw it out. We've got to get it out of there. God made it easy for you to have the blessing. He didn't complicate it. What complicates it is the human belief in how you do it. Get rid of the human belief. Throw it outside. Throw it away. Hallelujah. Spiritual development and growth comes through this simplicity of things. It comes through these things. Set yourself down. Get the Word of God out. Get confessions of the Word where you say them till you drive out of you all the crazy thinking and all the stuff religiously that tries to keep the blessing from you. You get down and sit down. You got to sit down and make confession of the Word. Find out what the Word says about blessings concerning your family. Quit always trying to do this and that to reach your family. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Confess the Word till you get it into you that God's going to take care of this thing. Till you lay it down. You ain't going to get him to move by your worrying. He ain't moved by your prayers of worry. He ain't moved by him. He's moved by your faith. And if you'll trust him with it, he'll make it work. Hallelujah. He'll make it work for you. He'll do it for you. Hallelujah. And that's where you want to get up. You lay down your worries. Get it into you, but you're so sold, he'll do anything for you just because he likes you. He'll bless your family just because he likes you so much. He did it for me. See, I learned. I put him first and not the family first, and God turned things around. And that's what you got to do. He taught me that lesson in the beginning. He said, you don't go ahead and leave your wife alone. You get straight. See, get it straight in you. We're trying to reach people, and you're no more straight than they are. Oh, well, hey, it's good. Been there, folks. Know what it's like. God's got to reach him and touch him. Let God reach him and touch him. Get yourself in line where you're standing in faith. God is waiting until he can move in someone's faith. And many times people never do. They never move on your faith. They're always, oh, you know, God, to help my this and help my kids that and help this person. They're all in this state. What about you? See, the greatest place I can come to where I stand in faith. You know, when the Lord spoke to me years ago concerning Wanda's grandfather, he was dying. And I just pleaded before the Lord. I said, concerning Wanda, I said, you know, Lord, I said, her family's been a mess. And I said, my heart just really goes out to my wife because I said, I know this really bothers her about what's going on. Her family's stuff was going on was a mess. And I just said, Lord, Lord, this is my wife. And I'm just, you know, for her sake. And the Lord said to me, go back and lay hands on him. He was dying. They had him dead. You know, they were considering he's dead. I said, go back and lay hands on him. I'll make his last days better than his first. He said, I'm not doing this for him. He said, I'm doing this for you because you asked me. So you've got to come over where God's number one on this, where your search is after him and you're walking after him. You're not trying to just please other people and do something. He'll do things. And over the years, he's done that for me on numbers of occasions. He's done things like that for me because you put things first. We're always trying to get everything fixed. We're trying to use our faith to fix everything. Use your faith and fix you. You get in faith, it's amazing God what God will do. When you come to the place where he's number one on the agenda, you got to come there. You're always going to be limited. That's one thing as I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I learned from him as a young Christian. I realized this man has God number one in the agenda, and there ain't nobody else comes near that seat. God's number one in his life. And yet the blessing that he became to others, the blessing he became to his own family, the blessing that God did, because he put God first. He put it out there. So he made decisions in life. He made good decisions concerning his family. He made good walk because of his tie to God. God did all kinds of things to bless in his family because of him. The Lord told me concerning the city of Lebanon. He said, there's going to be a move of God in this valley. And he said, it's not because of the believers of this day. He said, because people who walked right before me before. And he said, he stood in my face and he said, I'm going to bring a move of God for their sake in this valley. You're going to get something you don't deserve. Hallelujah. See, there's things that we need to go and we need to walk in. We need to hook up to folks. And I just pray that we just take a hold of this stuff. Hallelujah. Take a hold of it. Get yourself over where you're going to live a life of faith. It is amazing what God will be able to do through you. It's amazing. You'll be shocked at what he'll be able to accomplish through you and do. Hallelujah. Getting ourselves right. There's one thing. It's the best thing that I ever did for my wife is to get walking with God. I wasn't trying to do a whole bunch of natural stuff. Get my life fixed. Get my life to bless her life. That's what God taught me from the beginning. See, I learned these principles in the beginning. I didn't was in a group and money was the first thing you taught you need to get. We needed money, let me tell you. But you know what? Money would have never satisfied any of the stuff that we had to really need fixed. What really need fixed, I needed fixed. There was a head of the family that needed to be fixed. And if I wouldn't have, it would have been a huge effect on Wanda, on her spiritual development. And this is why we do it. We walk. See, I always walk. You walk this life. You develop this life of faith. Why? I'm like Abraham. It affects your descendants. It affects your descendants. Hallelujah. I want to affect. Don't you want your descendants? Don't you want things changed? Go after God. Be like Abraham. Go out there. Go where he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. Quit trying to fix all this stuff yourself. It's a mess. It is. And it's hard to do. I watch people do it. And then for a little while, those things are turned around. Next thing you know, well, you know what they did now? They did this. I don't even pay no attention to that stuff no more. I'm fully convinced. I heard from God. God spoke to me, and he's going to bring upon. My family's in the kingdom, and they're all going to heaven, and that's it. Ain't no more discussion on the subject. If you're still trying to get it work, you ain't arrived yet. You got to get the point. You'll get to the point. God will talk to you about it. But you got to come to the place where you're going to believe the word that you already have now and stand in it. And I'll tell you what, things will work. Things will work for you. And that's what to do. Get yourself over. I'm going after God. Hallelujah. Me and Abraham, we're going to bless. That's what we're called to. We're called to bless. We're a blessing. We're a blessing to people. We're a blessing to nations. That's what we're called to. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We are the final outcome of this glory that Abraham believed for. Hallelujah. Why do we settle for so much less? Why do we settle for so little? Why take a little bit when you can have the whole thing? Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just say thank you this morning. Lord God, we're so grateful. You're so good to us. Father, I thank you for making these things so simple to us. Making things so simple. And Lord God, Father, forgive us. Because, Lord God, we've complicated so many things, Lord God, that you've laid out for us so simply. And, Lord God, I'm so grateful for Abraham's obedience. I'm grateful, Lord God, that there's people all down through the centuries of history have walked with you, that have carried and kept this word of God, Lord God, down through the history and through the ages, that, Lord God, today it has come to us. And Lord God, we're the people of this final age and at the end of this, Lord God. And Lord God, where the crowd in heaven is looking over the banister, Lord God, because they know this is the end of things. And Lord God, but I preach to all those that have stood over us and look over, and Abraham looks down into the earth, and all these ones, Lord God, cheering us on down here to walk by faith. And I thank you, Father God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for all those ones that gone before us who walked in faith, who stood, Lord God. And Lord God, that your glory got to move in this earth because they walked in it, because they were obeyed. Lord God, they went out from wherever you told them to do. Lord God, they walked where you told them to walk. And Lord God, their blessing has passed on down through. And today we get to walk in that blessing. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, that somebody was hungry for something, Lord God. Lord God, even back to the pilgrims, Lord God, somebody that wanted something more than just some more money or this or that. There was a freedom that they wanted to have to worship you. There was a freedom that they had. They wanted to go to a place, Lord God. Lord God, they left a land and they came to a land. And Lord God, through them and through others that came to this land for, Lord God, that freedom, Lord God, of the worship of God. And a place, Lord God, Lord, that you established here. Lord God, there's a place, Lord God, that there was an integrity, Lord God, that we left, and forgive us for leaving that walk of integrity that we had, Lord God. Lord God, that those things don't come from the world. Lord God, those things of integrity to walk and live in, Lord, they came from people who walked by faith in Jesus Christ. They came from a people, Lord God, who had a morality in them. Not a morality, something of rules given to them, but they had it in them. They were born of the Spirit and they walked by faith, Lord God. And those people brought forth, Lord God, a nation in there that we get to live in. And Father God, forgive us for what has been done in this nation, Lord God. Father God, and I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have a plan for this nation in these last days. You haven't quit, Lord God, even though, Lord God, you would have every right to quit concerning this nation. You would have every right, Lord God, to throw in the towel and say, that's it, no more. But Lord God, you've risen us up in these last days, and you've put words in our heart and in our voices, Lord God, to speak concerning our land and this land that we live in. And Lord God, this will be a place of glory again. Hallelujah. There will be great light shine in this land again. Lord, I thank you. There's glimmers of light and there's things and people of light. But Lord God, there shall be a great outshining of the glory of God. Hallelujah. In this land, Father God, that many will come to the glorious light where the power of God will be revealed and men will not be able to stop it, Lord God. Lord, it'll be like a locomotive, Lord God, that is pulling many, many cars, and when you put the brakes on, it takes miles to stop it. Lord God, it will not be able to stop till we enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ returns and the church of glory leaves with him. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this day and time. Thank you for giving us a place in this ministry of glory of these last days. Thank you for choosing us. Lord God, you didn't choose Jesus, because we were wonderful. You chose us because you're wonderful. Hallelujah. And Lord God, your anointing is greater than what we are. Your anointing can do more in us. And Lord God, it's not by our talent. You never called us by any talent. You never called. You're the God who would give a talent. You're the God who would give, Lord God, a ministry. Give someone an anointing. Lord, that's how it works. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we cry out for your hand on us. Lord God, not our hand on us. Your hand on us. We want your perfect will and plan done in our lives. We want your anointing, hallelujah, to fulfill your will. Lord, when your will is done, we'll be the most blessed people, hallelujah, on the face of the earth. And so, Lord God, we call for your will, hallelujah. Like it is in heaven, we want it in the earth. Like it is in heaven, we want it in the earth. Like it is in heaven, we want it in the earth. Hallelujah. And Father God, we will have it. We will have it in this earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Your glory. These will be the days of heaven in the earth. The days of heaven in the earth. Your glory revealed. Hallelujah. And the glorious church rising up. Hallelujah. A people who are ready. Lord, ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we're looking ahead in joy, Lord God. Lord, there's so many things and so many bad reports of men, but we're not moved by those. We're only moved by the promise. Hallelujah. And we thank you that the promises are fulfilled in the name of Jesus. They belong to us and they're ours in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The glory will be revealed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we're going to stand. We're not going to fall. We're not going to waver on these things, Lord God. We're going to stand true in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, till we hear those words when we step into the glory of your kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, no better words that could ever be heard that would come from the lips of our Master. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for what you're going to accomplish. Thank you for what you're going to do for us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can only see glory for the future. I can only see glory for the future. Ha ha. Because the glory will so outshine the darkness. So outshine the darkness. Hallelujah. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And the true grace of God will abound in these last days. Hallelujah. Will abound and go forth. And like a river, healing will flow. Like a river, deliverance will flow. Like a river where men abound. Been trapped for years, and even Christians have walked and lived in bondage, that those bondages will be broken off, hallelujah, in these last days. For the glory of God is sent forth in the name of Jesus, and God has sent it forth, and he will not let man hold it back. He will not allow man to stop it, for in these last days the hand of God will move forth with great speed and great glory. Oh, that anyone would stand in its way. Woe to them, for it shall move forth, and it shall not distinguish between one or another. Only thing that will distinguish is those who are his and those who are not his. For he will move forward with glory and power and separate what's evil and what is good. And men will know and hear and call on the name of the Lord God, for they will see him in his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Brakadina na salida, deverite kahila, mombrati ke esse ke inahida, goprendo deski I kalakadone, inananakara getigi etese, vora dabare inanakayala getigi shiliatisi, lashkelika lokoteno brete ke sese. And the Lord says, I have been looking and waiting for this day. I've been looking and waiting for this time. For I have made preparations before the foundation of the world for these days. I have set these days before me. And I have looked down through the ages and I said, these days will be mine, says the Lord. These are the days that I've chosen. These are the days that I have set vessels forward before me. And these are the days that I will pour out my glory in those vessels. And I've set for this time. For my glory shall come forth. And this shall be the great awakening of men in these last days. And my glory will come forth in these days and poured out through my vessels. vessels, yes? And I will fill my people like a cup, yes? And I will take them individually and pour them out into this earth. And I will pour the glory that's in them out into this earth. And men will see my glory, and men will come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And people will come to the glory of God as I pour out through my people, yes? Yes, and I will pour upon those ones that come in. And many will pick up in this last day, in this short period of time, but I have set apart for them a ministry. And they will set forth, and I will pour into those ones that come in, and they will pour out, and they will pour out, and there's going to be a great pouring into the earth. Hallelujah. There'll be a flow of the Spirit like a mighty river, and it will wash all and cleanse all and bring into the kingdom, and it will flow like a major river that flows down through, that picks up things and washes them away, and it'll wash away the dirt and filth of much of the past, and my glory will be left when it goes through, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.